You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
Hello, and welcome to Triviality, the game where life series of debates, a little bit of knowledge, and this is our February main feed bonus. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Welcome.
That explains the weird energy.
Good to be here.
Was it weird?
Was a bit odd.
I just drank several cups of the cacao coffee, so maybe I'm hopped up on thiamine.
It's
not caffeine.
I wanted to say Theodosia, but that's from Hamilton.
Theodosia makes me really hyper. Is that how it works?
Hey, Theodosia, what you do to me?
Anywho. We got a great bonus episode here today, partially thanks to a great guest.
Yes, we're very excited to welcome a special guest in the studio. And a quick note, if this is the first time you're listening to the show, this is a bonus episode. So if you want to go to our normal episodes, which come out every Tuesday, they're about an hour, 35 questions of general knowledge trivia. You'll see all of those coming out every Tuesday. But this is a special main feed bonus because we have a special guest with a special category. And we're very happy.
It's all very special.
It's all very special. We're very excited to welcome Jeremiah Martin, Oakland 5 supporter on Patreon, to the hot seat. How are you, Jeremiah?
I'm doing so well. Thanks for having me on, guys. How are you?
Great.
Doing awesome. And we're super excited for you because you have your own podcast. You just passed 6 months. So congratulations from all of us to you. But why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your podcast, and what you've prepared for us today?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Jeremiah. I live here in Chicago, so not too far from you all. I work at a local university, Loyola University of Chicago, Go Ramblers, although our basketball team is having some trouble this season. We've got a lot of good fans. And yeah, my buddy Brandon and I started a podcast a little over 6 months ago called GG Level Up. We are a celebration of geek culture and a test of nerd knowledge. We really enjoy hearing about how people got into the things that they love and what those things are. So we spend some time talking to them about that. And then we write a custom trivia quiz based on the various nerd knowledge areas that they have. So whether they're well-versed in anime or really into fantasy novels or really love obscure old school video games, we do a little bit of research and write games for the things that they're really interested in and see how well they can do. And I have prepared a quiz today for all of you, actually taking some of the old questions from quizzes that I've done in the past and readapting them for you all here. So we've got a little bit of anime, some video games, some movie trivia, kind of runs the board here today. So we'll see how you all stack up against some of the people that have been on the show in the past.
Very cool. So we get a sampler platter of what you could expect from the show.
Yeah, exactly. When you're out to dinner and you can't decide which appetizer, mm-hmm. this is going to be that one.
Nice.
It's just a little bit of everything.
I like to think of
the potato things, a couple of the jalapeno poppers.
The potato skins. I used to do that at every restaurant. If they had a platter with potato skins, I would only order the platter for dinner.
Two boneless buffalo wings.
And correct us if we're wrong. So basically, if someone listening wanted to go on your podcast, they fill out a Google form, right? And they say, oh, I'm a huge fan of One Piece, or I love reading One Punch Man. Whatever else you like that you'd fill out.
I love the one in the Matrix.
And they just fill it out, and then you'd figure out questions.
Yeah, absolutely. So we ask, what are your general areas of knowledge? So they might say anime and comic books. And then we'd ask for a little bit more specific, and they'd say One Punch Man, One Piece, Batman, and, you know, Spider-Man. And we do research and deep dive into whatever they're interested in and come up with some questions on that. And I will say that Triviality was a huge inspiration to our show. I found you guys over the pandemic, and it was right after my partner bought our house. And I was redoing the ceilings, taking down some popcorn ceilings, and it was a pretty big project. And you guys kept me laughing through the entirety of that project. I still remember listening to the Letterkenny episode the first time before I had ever even watched the show. And while my brother and sister had been pushing me to watch the show, your guys' episode really, really drove it home. And now I absolutely love that show. And Shorzy, I've seen probably 6 times through already.
Well, pitter patter, let's get at her.
There you go.
If you're ready to go.
We do want to say for the record that we emailed Jeremiah and said our specialty is popcorn ceilings. So all the questions today are going to be about popcorn ceilings.
Yes. And the first question is, which is easier to remove, a painted popcorn ceiling or a non-painted popcorn ceiling?
I'm going to say painted because it all sticks together.
That'd be my guess.
Just take a bulldozer to the house.
Yes, that is the correct answer. Take a bulldozer to the house because it is a grueling process.
Throw the whole house out.
I'm sure of the four of us, only Jeff has removed a popcorn ceiling.
Yes, and I've done it the old-fashioned way by ripping the ceiling down because, yeah, I was never going to.
With your bare hands. Excited. So we're excited to see this the sampler here, and hopefully we'll do pretty well.
Yeah, I've got high hopes for you guys. So to get started, we will start with question one. I got 15 questions here. So question number one, a true anime classic, Cowboy Bebop features the adventures of the often unlucky bounty hunters Spike, Jet, and Faye, along with their companions Ed and Ein. Strangely enough, there is not a character that features the name Bebop because that is the name of what?
Too easy for me and Jeff. So let's see if Matt or Neil can get
the
this.
Warthog. Right?
Is there a warthog?
The warthog.
No, well, Rocksteady was a rhino.
Oh.
That was good, Matt.
On brand for this particular game.
I've never seen this show, but assuming being a jazz drummer, I would assume it's referencing bebop jazz.
It is, but it's very also specifically the name of something in the show.
Oh. Is that the corgi's name?
What would you name that's not a being?
Oh, the ship.
Exactly.
The ship.
I was going to give you Nathan Fillion in Firefly as an example.
Does the ship, when it does the engine go like, bebop, 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 bebop. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, about as janky as that, yeah.
Yeah, and the correct answer is their ship. It is, and originally formed as a fishing vessel. Fun fact about Cowboy Bebop, this is a extra trivia. All of the ships on the ship, so Spike, Faye, and Jet's ship, are all named after fish. So the Bebop still technically is a fishing troller as it is fully loaded with fish.
Yes. Oh.
You've got Jet's hammerhead, Spike's swordfish.
Two.
And, yep.
And the red tail, I believe.
Yeah, it's Faye's Zipcraft. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, the red tail. Yeah, you guys definitely know your Bebop. All right, well, question number two. This is a mix of a geek and a sports question here. Well, university a question, I guess. While walking around the streets of Chicago, you may get a lot of Gryffindor vibes thanks to Loyola University's maroon and gold colors. However, if you are walking around Iowa City, you may think you are in the common room of which other Hogwarts house?
Mm-hmm.
Double trouble. So, Matt, do you want to handle the sports portion of this?
What are we looking for?
The color of Iowa City's school.
Or the Iowa colors. City or so Iowa State?
There's a university in Iowa City that is located in Iowa City, and its colors are the same colors as that as one of the Hogwarts houses.
Oh.
Is Neil your alma mater perchance located in Iowa City?
It is.
Oh, the black and gold?
That's where I first had alcohol and got so drunk I called my mom and said the descent, what's the word?
Are you drunk now?
I am now. I can't even say the word.
Desensitization.
Thank you. 50 Cent was desensitizing the youth, but I love his album. So
you are you now you as a respected mascot got to see a lot of the uniform. Remember what color those uniforms were?
I do know what color they were, but am I supposed to tell you?
Yeah, go ahead.
We all know.
Gold and black.
Yeah.
Black and gold, like the song.
All right,
black
so
and
gold. Now what Hogwarts house is black and gold?
I know the Ravenclaws are the blues, blue and white-ish, blue and gray.
I believe we're looking for Cedric Diggory's house.
Yeah, and I believe the Slytherins are the greens, so that
Hufflepuff
leaves
Hufflepuff.
My boy!
And you all killed that question, like Cedric Diggory, so that is sad. Hufflepuff.
I'm just kidding, it's fine.
I want to try the sorting hat. Has everyone here been sorted? Have you been sorted, Ken?
I refuse to be sorted.
He's a Slytherin.
As you know, there's basically four types of kids.
Ken is wearing green and black currently.
Oh, have you been sorted, Matt?
Have I been sorted?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Slytherin.
Oh, you're Slytherin too. Okay.
Yeah.
Jeremiah?
I'm not fluent, but I speak a little parcel
tongue.
I often get Gryffindor.
You do?
So,
okay.
Matches my alma mater quite well.
I think refusing to be sorted pretty much says that you're a Slytherin, right?
I immediately wanted to be, which is pretty much how I ended up in Ravenclaw.
Ken's a Death Eater, I think. Unsortable.
All right. Question number three. Announced in early 2021, the Marvel villain Kraven the Hunter is getting their own big screen adaptation with Aaron Taylor Johnson playing the title role. While he may not be a household name, Taylor Johnson has definitely cut his teeth in some great geeky franchises, already making an appearance in the MCU as Pietro Maximoff, starring in 2010's Kick-Ass, and this 2014 film where he played opposite a beast that Kraven would definitely take a crack at.
Oh, man. You named all the ones that I had like right at the top of my head. What else? What did you say, 2014?
Yeah, 2014.
And he took a crack at a beast that Kraven, opposite a beast that Kraven would take a crack at. So Spider-Man, villains. Oh, I know it.
Is this the...
It's a quite large beast.
Yeah, is this... Cranston was in this, right?
Yeah.
Is he in this one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, he has lightning come out of his mouth.
This one, it's a very large dog, if I recall.
As Ken says,
throwback to episode four.
Call back.
But now my Japanese is a little better, so I know it's a derivative of the word whale.
Is that where it comes from?
Yeah.
Gojira?
Mm-hmm.
Godzilla.
So, Godzilla.
It is Godzilla, yes. And I love how they said that like all the marketing was Bryan Cranston heavy, and he's in the movie for 20 minutes maybe, and you're just like, oh, cool. Now we're just Aaron Taylor Johnson trying to get back to his family while Godzilla fights giant moth things.
Yeah. Is Bryan Cranston like the crazy scientist who nobody listens to?
Pretty much.
That movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember that was a Gareth Evans movie, and then I believe after the success of that, he got Rogue One and unfortunately was replaced on Rogue One, but... it was a fun one. I remember seeing that in the theater.
Yeah, it's a good film. I used to work at a movie theater, and I was there while that film came out. And the marketing materials were all really cool. And then you watch the movie, and you're like, oh, this is good, but it didn't quite hold up.
It was supposed to kick off. Like they were going to make a Mothra movie, and they were going to make a ton of those movies, and it just did not
They made
Kong, Skull Island, and then they made a second Godzilla vs. Kong, and then, yeah, that in included King Ghidorah, so yeah.
Well, I watched none of those.
There's like four of them now, three or four.
Yeah, Godzilla King of Monsters, which I enjoy. That was pretty good with Millie Bobby Brown.
So what happened, Matt? It happened. It's happening.
Matt went into a cave and just ignored it. That's what happened.
He was following Bryan Cranston, and after he left, he's just
I was just
like,
rewatching the Matthew Broderick one over and over.
Classic. Oh,
how about Godzilla versus Kong? Who's going to win?
Godzilla. Oh, Kong. You're talking about my brother, Kong? Godzilla clearly going to win, and my brother is just like, Kong's going to win. Totally.
No. It wasn't. No. The story was.
I don't know the story, though. Yeah, go ahead.
It was your brother was Godzilla camp.
Oh,
and our other friend was Kong camp.
Oh, right.
And He just got caught up in the moment, and when asked who's going to win, he said Kong on accident.
That's right. Okay, that's right, yeah.
And he was wearing a Godzilla shirt at the time. He just got caught up in the moment.
Well, question number four. Written and directed by Hayao Miyazaki, Princess Mononoke is a personal favorite. was released in 1997 and follows Ashitaka as he gets involved in a conflict between the forest gods and the humans who are consuming the forest resources. Filled with beautiful scenery, incredible characters, and plenty of awe-inspiring moments, the film didn't do well at the box office, but did great in DVD and video sales, helping to increase the popularity of this animation studio outside of Japan.
Okay.
So hard.
Yeah. Kind of, I know.
I'm right? good on this one, if Matt wants to take a guess.
Studio Piggly. Right?
So close. It's actually Studio Wiggly.
Yeah, well, I could see the Piggly for the Porco Rosso, mm-hmm. which was his previous film. But yeah, we're all big Studio Ghibli fans here, and by all of us, I mean Ken and I definitely are. So
I was sweating when I thought you were going to ask like a specifically Mononoke question. Because if I missed it,
I was ready.
I'd have to turn in.
I was ready for Lady Eboshi. I was ready for the.
You'll have to add it to your form when we do the episode.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, I'll make sure to get some specific Princess Mononoke questions on there. Question
Studio
number
Ghibli
three
is the answer. I don't think we said it.
Sorry.
I did.
Oh, okay. You did.
Question number five, excuse me. Question number five is a little bit shorter. Released in 2003, this Nintendo handheld system was the first in the series to feature a lighted screen, initially front lit, and then moving to a backlit model, and a folding design.
Was that the first DS?
DS, possibly?
So the DS is different than the 3DS, right?
Right. It's
got a secondary
3D
screen.
Yeah, the DS was the little square one.
Right, the original DS had the two. It looked like a compact almost, right?
Yeah. So I think the DS would be our answer.
Okay, well, this was released prior to the DS. This featured only one screen, and it was the Game Boy Advance SP.
Oh. Forgot. Hand over that XLP, bro. Sorry, that was a Domino's reference, but... That's my one of the favorite commercials of all time. Reference. Yeah.
Don't hear a lot of those.
If anyone has seen the XLP commercial for Domino's, please let me know because it was always great. And we specifically ordered the XLP just so we'd have the guy say, we could say, hand over that XLP, bro.
I mean, appreciate it.
They did not like it.
Yeah, every time. Like, oh, again?
It's like, oh, we know Neil's calling.
They screen your phone number and it's like, yeah, we'll let that. They must really want that pizza if they call twice.
Spit on this one.
Has that actually, just a little quick aside here, but has that happened to anyone before where now with caller ID, I've called places before thinking that I was anonymous to ask a question and all of a sudden they're like, oh, hi, Neil. And it freaked me out.
Well, when I call the local Chinese restaurant and I give them my very specific and always the same order, they go, okay, for Ken. I'm like, yes.
I had something similar happen. There was a Thai restaurant that was right next to the movie theater that I worked in, and I didn't even have to walk in the door. I would just stick my head to the window and wave, and they would start making my order. Oh. And in 10 minutes, they would walk it over to the movie theater, and they knew exactly what I wanted.
Oh, that's great. I like that.
I like that
very much.
Yeah, my previous job, I used to walk over to a deli every day, and they as soon as they saw the phone number, they're like, yeah, we got your order.
We just brought out the 5-pound slab of salami.
No, they had a very good turkey sandwich with a key lime mayo that they made in house.
Was this a deli named after a hockey stick vigilante?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Shall we continue?
Question number six. Stranger Things and D&D have gone hand in hand since the show opened with the characters wrapping up a 9-hour campaign as they faced off against the Demogorgon. Even outside of their game, Will, Dustin, Lucas, and Mike take their party composition seriously and assign classes to each new member. When Max makes the argument to join the party, what class does she say that she is?
Well,
ooh,
I am not Stranger Things versed, but I can help with the D&D portion.
I'm trying to remember. That was probably season 2, so it's been a long time. But I, for some reason, I'm vaguely remembering her having like a wizard outfit, or maybe that was Will. Maybe Will was like the Merlin. Maybe scratch that. I think Will was the wizard.
Do you need some classes thrown at you?
I don't know if it'll help, honestly.
She kind of feels like a rogue.
Who is Max?
Max is the redheaded girl.
Yeah, she like moved to the town.
I'll give you guys a hint.
Road skateboards. Sure, we'll take one.
It is not a traditional class. So this is something that she says. This is kind of her own made up class. So you kind of have to know the show to get this one.
I'm out.
I don't remember. Yeah.
I don't recall that one.
badass ass kicker goblin.
Yeah.
So she rides around on a skateboard all the time, and she says that she would be a zoomer. Mm. She would go fast, which she then demonstrates at the end of the season, driving her brother's car ridiculously fast, having one person work the pedals and the other person work the steering wheel.
Got to go fast.
Is that Billy?
Billy, yeah. What if you're a boomer as a class of Dungeons & Dragons?
If you were a boomer in Dungeons & Dragons, you probably wouldn't play. You're really into the satanic panic, and you're going to say some potentially uncouth things while sitting at the table.
I thought if you were one of the cool boomers, you were still playing version 1.0.
Yeah, AD&D, there we go.
You collapse all the right. economy of your local hamlet.
More of a Thorpe.
Anyways.
The old trickle-down campaign.
Question number 7 is a Lord of the Rings question. In the Battle of Barad-dûr, King Elendil broke his sword while fighting Sauron, and his son Isildur would take up the broken blade to cut the one ring from Sauron's finger. The shards of this blade would later be reforged into a blade that was presented to Aragorn as he went to reclaim the throne of Gondor and fight for the free peoples of Middle-earth. Tell me the names of both of these blades for the points.
Anybody?
No.
Wesley Snipes.
I would get there.
Mahershala Ali.
For a while.
Two blades.
Barad-dûr.
Barad-dûr.
The Battle of Barad-dûr. Narsil.
That's one.
Is one. And the other one is... Narsil is the original one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then it's reforged into...
Starts with an A.
Acai bowl ingredient or Lord of the Rings blade?
It's pretty funny.
Starts with an A.
Why am I not remembering this offhand?
Andoril.
Oh, Andoril. Yeah.
Yes, Narsil and Andoril.
Andoril.
All right, so going into a couple more general questions. Question number 8. Once a niche and frowned upon hobby, the video game market is now worth more than movies and music industries combined. Grand Theft Auto V and EA's Tetris have both broken the astonishing 100 million copies sold benchmark. However, only one game has done the even more impressive feat of breaking 230 million copies sold and is the best-selling video game of all time. What is this game?
Hey, Ken, do you want to talk about Roblox?
Roblox? Do you think it is?
No. No, I think I know what it is.
Yeah?
It's Minecraft,
I think it's
isn't
Minecraft.
Yeah. Because it's on every system. It's on phones. It's on computers. And I think it's mostly free or cheap or whatever, I think. And then it's microtransactions. So.
I remember a while back hearing that it was like bigger than anything else. And I was astonished to learn how much bigger. So okay. I think it's Minecraft.
Let's say it.
And the answer is Minecraft. Yeah, selling more than double the runner-up. It is, you're exactly correct, Matt. It is on every single platform. You can pick up a copy for $20. There's several different iterations. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. I've also seen a wonderful meme that says that in 1920, children were removed from the mines. Child labor laws were passed and children were removed from the mines. And in 2020, the best-selling video game was Minecraft. And so clearly the children just yearn for the mines.
That's good.
All right. Question number 9. Drawing inspiration from all over the place, the Pokemon can either be very creative, like how Hitmonlee and Hitmonchan are based on real-life martial artists, to things a bit more on the nose, like Mankey being based off of a monkey. Some inspirations hit a little too close to home, like this member of the original 151, whose appearance and gluttony were directly inspired by Game Freak programmer Koji Nishino.
Well, Lickitung is definitely not inspired by DJ Khaled, correct?
Definitely not. No, definitely not. It might be inspired by Michael Douglas.
Gene Simmons. Maybe not.
Or Gene Simmons, yeah.
So a gluttonous Pokemon.
Who's probably lazy and tired.
And what was the name?
Orson Welles?
Slowpoke?
Oh,
That could be. I think it's Snorlax. He is a very gluttonous, large Pokemon.
Does he eat a lot? As well
he's
as
always
sleep
eating.
A lot? Okay. I know he sleeps a lot.
I know
Matt
nothing
the,
of Pokemon.
The resident Pokemon master, so we can default with Snorlax.
Yeah.
And the answer is Snorlax. Yeah.
Wow.
And the gentleman still works at Game Freak, Koji Nishino. And if you pull up a picture of him, it looks like Snorlax. I don't know whether he's super happy or a little hurt about the fact that they put him in the game, but yeah, he's there forever.
They told him, like, hey, we put you in the game. He's like, oh, that's awesome. Let me see. It's like, so you're a big fat slob that never stops eating.
It's not even that
so
big.
So rude. No, he's, by Japanese standards, yeah. Maybe, but... Yeah.
And Matt, speaking of Pokemon, over on our Discord, which we love listeners and fans to go check out, you do a lot of Pokemon raids or whatever you call it over there, right?
Yeah, we're still playing Pokemon Go. 6 years running.
Awesome.
Great. That's a game that I tried out for the first weekend, and then I still have several friends that play, but I haven't stuck with that one. So that's awesome to hear that you're still playing.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
One particular argument, he ended up dislocating Ava's jaw. Ava, she was such a tough cookie. Rather than cry or scream or anything like that, she...
Or call the police.
She should have, exactly. What does she do? She takes an ashtray and she knocks him over the head and knocks him unconscious. That's how she fought back. She didn't know what to do, so she called Louis B. Mayer. I think I've killed Howard Hughes. What do I do?
Revisit a time when the pictures were still big and everyone was ready for their close-up. When you want Tyrone Power instead of Tom Hardy, Jennifer Jones instead of Jennifer Lawrence, or Robert Mitchum rather than Robert Pattinson, then From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
But this brings us to question 10, so two-thirds of the way through the quiz. Science fiction fans have a lot of incredible television shows to get invested in. From Stargate to Doctor Who, Star Trek to Westworld, the sci-fi genre is filled with incredible characters and stories. However, while there are many wonderful shows that have come to satisfying endings, there are also a number of shows that have gotten the plug pulled too early, including this fan favorite that tells the adventures of the crew of the Serenity as they travel the galaxy trying to find jobs enough to keep food on the table.
May or may not have
this guy again.
Earlier.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand, Jeff.
That's right.
Firefly.
Yeah, Owl City. Firefly.
It is Firefly.
I thought you were going to sing the tale of Jane Cobb over there.
So I just looked up this Koji Nishino guy again.
Yep.
And his nickname was Kirby, and the character of Kirby was also based on him. So everyone they loved this man ate so much at the office that they named two gluttonous characters after him.
I think the guy who used to work at my office was just trying to get a video game character based on him. That's why he was hogging all the donuts.
Oh man.
Yeah, he was the inspiration for Simpsons Hit and Run, apparently. Question number 11. Marvel and DC Comics are the two most popular comic companies in history and are responsible for hundreds of memorable heroes, villains, and supporting characters. However, there are plenty of other publishers that have created amazing characters, like Oni Press, that published a series of graphic novels from 2004 to 2010 and featured this Canadian musician title character who falls in love with a delivery girl with an impressive courting history.
I got it.
Was that the turn into a movie that I'm thinking of?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. You got it, Matt?
Yes, I was never a vegan, but
now you will be gone.
Yeah, or whatever that quote was.
Scott Pilgrim.
It is Scott Pilgrim, as featured in Scott Pilgrim versus the Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Wow, mm-hmm. Brain fart there.
Good movie.
Great movie. Great movie. And they had made a video game, and the video game is really, really good too.
Oh yeah.
Who was the director on that? That was
Edgar Wright.
Yeah, I was going to say, it has the frenetic quality of an Edgar Wright film.
Mm-hmm.
And features a young Chris Evans, not in his Captain America suit. So, yeah.
You think you could trick me into pulling a move like that?
That's got a huge cast, though. Brandon Routh, Brie Larson, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Michael Cera, Aubrey Plaza, Kieran Culkin.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Kieran Culkin.
Mm-hmm.
All right, question number 12. I think Ken and Jeff might be able to get this one pretty easily. Cardboard and ink are not particularly expensive materials. However, when you put them together, you can get some truly expensive products. In January of 2021, a Black Lotus Magic card signed by the artist set the world record for the most expensive Magic card ever sold. Within $30,000, how much did the card sell for?
Was it that much?
Within 30,000. I think I know.
How this much? One was signed.
Oh, more
this
than
was
that.
Signed.
More than that?
Yeah.
Well, and this was this PSA graded? That's really important.
Was this Post Malone's Black Lotus?
Yeah, I think it was the one Post Malone purchased, because Post Malone.
This much?
Almost, yeah. Post Malone bought a artist proof signed one by the artist Christopher Rush, who did the original design for Magic's Black Lotus. Christopher Rush passed away number of years back.
Oh.
So signed art from him is very rare.
Yeah.
And I think he paid close to $800,000.
Wow.
For the card. Which would be about 6 or 7 times the going rate for an Alpha Black Lotus, which at about $150,000 is still.
Jake Paul spent $2 million on that, like 1 of 6 PSA 10 original Charizard or whatever.
Yeah, he threw away his money. He's dumb.
Who paid that much?
I mean, don't get me wrong. Paying that much money for a Magic card is
stupid. I think it was Jake Paul.
Oh, Jake
I don't think
Paul.
It was
okay.
Logan.
Oh, that's right, because he wore it around his neck to like a wrestling event.
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
I think it was almost 800,000, yeah.
Okay, so I had to do a little bit more research on that. So Post Malone announced that he recently spent $80,000 on a Magic the Gathering card. However, he then corrected to say 800,000. That figure is not fully confirmable. However, the next highest confirmable is $511,100 sold in January 2021. Yeah. So either way, over $500,000 for a small piece of cardboard and ink.
Wish I had one of those.
Viewers can't see this, but that wink. Do you have a Black Lotus?
No.
Someone might.
Someone might.
It was Logan Paul, and he paid $5.275 million for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah. The Pokemon
and that
card.
Was for the Illustrator Pikachu card, not the Charizard, which is, I think, one of only five that exist. And it was
a good deal, is what
you're
saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's probably worth twice.
Like his NFT purchases. You're in the art market, basically, that's a scam.
I know this is a visual medium, Matt, and we spoke about Stranger Things earlier, but your lamp behind you and the fan looks like a Demogorgon with their mouth open a little bit.
It does.
The lamp,
it does.
So we moved in, and this house had owls everywhere. This lamp...
owls, not like...
You still have some of the owls? I love owls.
This fan is a custom leaf fan that had owl things hanging from it.
Wow.
And we've just kept it. It's on the front page of some websites like, check out our custom pieces. And we just looked. I'm like, hey, that's our stupid faith that you have.
Get
in the
rid
den.
Of gotta sell all that the other
for
owls?
All the money.
The owls? No, we keep them in the den also. They're okay. Sleeping though. So they're back here with me. Ooh, don't worry.
Ooh. All right. Well, who is going to know the answer to question number 13? Breaking onto the scene in the mid-20th century and quickly becoming one of the most lucrative industries in the world, video games don't seem to be going anywhere anytime soon. From being able to fight dragons, compete in a Super Bowl, or even create entire simulated worlds, the games we play have come a long way since the release of this title, the first video game created and built in the Brookhaven National Laboratory in 1958. So what is the first video game ever created?
If I'm not mistaken, I think it might be Pong.
I always
what do
think,
you guys think
Pong is the first, but I don't know.
I mean, yeah, unless it's like a cheeky one where it's like the game is like, you know, a question or something. You know.
I don't think it's Pong. I think Pong is it gets the credit for it.
Just because it was like the first like mass viable one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what do you say?
I don't have an actual 20, answer.
Was it 20 questions or something like
that? That's what I'm wondering if it's, yeah, if it's like a question-based thing. I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, we'll give that nebulous answer and see what you say.
All right. Well, Pong is really close, and Pong actually evolved from this game. This game's title was Tennis for Two.
Tennis
yeah,
for Two.
Yeah, so it plays almost exactly like Pong, and you
and
use
two
a
for
dial
tennis.
To move the. Yeah.
Sounds like a bad rom-com, Tennis for Two.
Oh, yeah. You should write that one.
He already sold it to Hallmark.
Yeah. Jerry missed his date and ended up at a tennis court. Serena is a tennis instructor.
But Jerry works
it could be about like an
racket.
Aging tennis pro, and it could be called 45 Love.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say their love is an ace.
Can I get Jerry O'Connell as the aging tennis pro and... Who do you want as your
should she Jennifer be Love Hewitt, obviously.
Young? Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah, 45. Love.
All right. Only two questions left in the quiz. We are coming back to Firefly on this one. Written and created by Joss Whedon, the 2002 space western Firefly faced challenges from the beginning, with the show being broadcast out of order and the show even being canceled after 11 of the 14 episodes had aired. Regardless of the challenges, Firefly has an incredibly passionate fan base that likes to call themselves the Browncoats, after the uniforms for the soldiers of the independent planets who faced off against the purple bellies of the Union of Allied Planets. Sharp-eyed fans might start to bug out a little bit when they notice that the armor used by the Purple Bellies is actually just repainted suits of armor featured in this 1997 NPH sci-fi film.
I know, I know that one then.
I would have loved to see if Neil could have gotten this one without the NPH and the year.
No, I have no idea. I don't even remember those costumes.
Was 1997 the year for Starship Troopers?
Yes.
Am I... on to the correct answer, perchance?
Yes.
I did not know this.
Yeah. Especially notable on the train episode.
Oh, okay.
Because all the soldiers are in that train.
Right,
so.
Right. I've never seen Starship Troopers, so.
Great movie.
Well, great. It needs you to watch it.
Does it?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get that joke if I ever watch it.
That armor was featured in several projects. You can see it come up. I don't remember the other big one, but there's four movies that it was featured in. Starship Troopers first, and then they just kept using it. And finally, they retired it as the purple belly armor after they painted it purple.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You get their money's worth. That's important.
So that was 15, right?
That was 14. We got one question
yes.
left.
One final question.
I can tell you, we've missed three so far, so I think we're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I would say you guys are all doing really well. And I think you should be able to get this last one, especially Neil. This is more of a movie question. Winona Ryder plays Joyce Byers in Stranger Things, the quirky single mom of Jonathan and Will. Winona is no stranger to playing quirky characters. What was the name of her character in 1988's cinematic classic Beetlejuice?
Oh, I know this too.
Yep.
Do you know it?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Go for it.
Lydia Deetz.
Lydia Deetz, yes.
Love the musical,
too. Which I was interesting. She didn't really get along with her mom, but they both were very eccentric and artistic. And I was like, well, you guys are basically the same person. One can just see the ghost.
Who wouldn't want Catherine O'Hara as their mom, other than Kevin McAllister?
Oh, my God. You.
David.
Yeah, and if you haven't checked out our Schitt's Creek episode from last month, check it out.
Yes, please check it out.
And that'll do it. We thank you for those great questions. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Right, it was in our wheelhouse.
If you like can everybody check you out, Jeremiah?
Yeah, they can check us out. We're mostly on Spotify, but GG Level Up. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, GG Level Up Pod, GGLVLUPPOD. And we, like I said, we are a celebration of geek culture and a test of nerd knowledge. So if you ever want to see how well you know some of your favorite franchises and properties, head over to our Instagram. And we've got links to our Google form where you can fill that out and be on the show.
Yeah, and speaking of being on the show, we're also going to do that if we haven't done that already. So please check out their feed, listen to that episode, and all the rest of them.
Yeah, and a special thank you to all our patrons for helping us out, letting us do a bunch of these bonus episodes and special bonus episodes just for patrons on our feed. You can go to patreon.com/trivialitypodcasts and get all of that bonus content along with our new and later main feed episodes with no ads. So definitely go to patreon.com/trivialitypodcasts. And we're excited to check out your show, Jeremiah, and anything else, everyone?
Just thanks to Airwave, as always.
Yep, thank you to Airwave Media for just helping us be on their wonderful network. There's so many other great shows there over at airwavemedia.com that you can check out. And Ken, there's a lot of new ones actually they've added, but are there any that people should check out?
Sure. Let's check out Fork in the Road, History Uncovered, and Legends of the Old West.
I'm interested in Pulse of the Planet. I'd like to see what that's all about.
I'm sure Neil is interested in The Labors of Hercule.
I will be checking that one out as a big fan of Agatha Christie. So,
well, that'll do it for today. We thank all these chums in the studio, Neil, Jeff, Matt, coming in online for us, and Jeremiah, of course. I am Ken, and that was Triviality.